hours. It's totally rad. And some of you are like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Hey, we're a church that likes to have fun. Jesus is fun. How many of you guys were here last week for Kids Take Over Sunday? Man, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to hear the kids who communicated last week, but I was so proud of them. And you need to listen to their testimony, their story, the message that God put in them. Honestly, I felt like I don't even know what I do when I come up here on a Sunday morning. They were so good, and it was so great to see our children and community have so much fun. So if you ever hear about a Kids Take Over Sunday taking place, and we do two a year, usually right before school starts and the Christmas time, that's not the Sunday to leave. That's the Sunday to come and hang out with us. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, come on, may Jesus be with you. And then turn to your other neighbor and tell them the same thing before we get started. Good job, Aaron. So the guy who produces that is our drummer. He's the one that makes those videos every week, Aaron Johnson. And then all of those, Nick and Cassie and Nigel and others who are part of that team, that every week they come together and they help us figure out what's going on. So I hope when that happens, when you see it, that you pay attention, because it's our way of letting you know that there are things that God wants to do in your life and there are ways to get connected because you're important to us. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, we're on a Christmas series. And so I want to pray for us, and then let's get started this morning. Jesus, we're so grateful for the season that we get to celebrate you. I just ask, God, that you would help me communicate what you've put inside of me today. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Father, what you're doing in our city and in our community and in our lives. And Father, I pray that anyone that's hurting and feeling left out or trying to figure out what's happening, God, I pray that, Lord, that first of all, they're a part of a community that loves them. And second, Lord, that you would show them that there is always hope on the horizon, because you said your mercies are new every day. So Jesus, we thank you for that. We pray for the churches in our city. We pray for those that don't know you. And God, I pray that together there would be this great revival in our city, that many would come to Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, my name is Ryan Maloof. If you don't know who I am, my wife and I are the lead pastors of this great church, and we love you. And we're so grateful for getting an opportunity to be together and enjoy all that God is doing in our community. And so we're in a Christmas series. Last week was our Kids Take Over Sunday, and the week before that, we kind of started it. And so this is part two. And, you know, whenever the Christmas story is told, obviously there's these things that kind of go along with it. You know, you got the shepherds, and you've got the stable, and Mary and Joseph. And if you haven't heard that story, well, that's going to be part of what we're going to be talking about next week. And we're also going to be having a candlelight service. So it's going to be a fun week next week. But one of the things that I realize is that in the midst of this entire story, there's a piece that I want to spend a little time with today. And really, it's not the theme of the story, but it's a part of the story. And I believe that you and I are actually a big deal to God's plan in the earth. And I just want you to hear that. I want you to know that. I want you to recognize that you actually are a big plan. And even though we talk about Jesus and we talk about what he is here to do, you are a big part of what Jesus wants to do in the earth. And what I love about the Christmas story, and many times it gets overlooked, is before the Christmas story is told, there's this incredible story of a couple who had been waiting a very long time to have a child. It's the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And what's so incredible about that story is that God the Father steps into time to talk about the coming of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the chosen one, the one that's going to take away people's sins, the one that's going to set us free, the one that is going to save His people and redeem them back so that we can live in this place called hope. The Son is the greatest story of all time. And it's not just a story, it's the reality of His love for us. But what I love about the story is there's this forerunner, this setup of this family and this individual by the name of John the Baptist. And many times John the Baptist gets overlooked because he's just a part of the story. He's not the theme. He's not the point. But I think for you and I today, John the Baptist is exactly what we should be all about. John the Baptist is the forerunner. He's the pre-conversation. He's the setup of the greatest story of all time. He's the one that sets the stage for the coming of the Messiah. And I just want to let you know that Jesus is always on the move in people's lives. That Jesus is coming. Yes, we talk about that He's coming back again. But I'm here to tell you that actually everywhere you go and the people that you're surrounded by, that Jesus wants to come into their lives. And so the idea of Jesus is coming, the beauty of this story is that He sends people to set up Jesus coming. And so John the Baptist is this person. It says this in John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It says, in the beginning, or starting with verse 1, I'm just going to read this and you don't have it, but until we get to verse 6. But it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word is what John is referring to as Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word, Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness can never extinguish it. Look at verse 6. And I think often this part gets overlooked. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his
testimony.
John himself was not the light. Some of us, we have to remind ourselves that. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming in to the world. John was the one who came before Jesus that prepared the way for people to turn to Him. What an amazing concept. And in all the stories of Jesus coming, there is always this person, John, in the narrative that sets the stage for the greatest expression of all time, and that is Jesus. One of the things that I enjoy, and you may know this as we spend time together, is that I love to vacuum. And I really enjoy tools in the home that are game changers. And if you're like me, when you're just kind of sitting somewhere, maybe when you're someone else is driving and you're scrolling through, you know, your news feed, you see these like, you know, best gadgets of 2019, you know, game changers. I love those because I hate things that just don't work. I like it when something is made that it actually shifts our home. And one of those things is I tend to be the only person that vacuums. Maybe it's because I'm a little anal and I have to have it done right, but it could be because the vacuum cleaner that I've chosen has 17 attachments to do anything. So no one wants to bring it out. And it weighs, it's a Kirby vacuum, by the way, and it weighs like 35 pounds. You could drop it out of an airplane and it could hit the ground at 35,000 feet and it would still work. I promise you, this thing is incredible. But it's heavy and it's a lot. And we have hardwood floors. Well, actually, they're fake linoleum floors, but whatever. I don't even know why I said hardwood floors. They're They're not. They look like hardwood floors, but they're not even laminate floors. They're just linoleum, whatever that word is. And so we have this vacuum, and for years I've been the only one that vacuums, and I keep telling my wife and my children, like, hey, anybody can do this. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, so anyways, I started doing some investigating, and I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you when you're shopping for something and you're standing there and you're like in this bewildered state of, I have no idea what I should buy. And then someone comes up next to you and they tell you something. And they're like, oh my goodness, we bought this and it was a game changer. Well, so I did all this research and I figured out the kind of vacuum that I needed, and it was a Dyson wand. And so I bought this wand, and it's battery powered and it hangs on the wall. And I showed my family, look, no cords, it's lightweight, and anybody can vacuum. And do you know what we have experienced? Revival at my house. Like, I watched my daughter the other day go into the garage and grab this vacuum and start vacuuming. And I was like, this is amazing. So there was another guy in our church and their vacuum died. And he's like, hey, I heard you're the vacuum guy. What vacuum should I buy? And I was like, oh, you should buy the Dyson wand. I go, are you the only one that vacuums? And he's like, yeah, I'm the only one that vacuums. I go, bro, this is a game changer. I go, my whole family, even my son, a 13-year-old boy, this is real revival. God has come, has used it. So literally, he immediately went out and bought this vacuum, and he called me the other day. He's like, bro, game changer. He's like, my whole family has grabbed the vacuum, and they're clean. I'm like, I know, it's incredible. What I love about that is that's exactly what the social media has discovered about influencers. That they found people to sit with a little light in front of their face and put on makeup or talk about something because people want to hear what other people have to say about something. And then we are influenced to buy it. So now all of you in the room that need a vacuum, you're going on your phone trying to find who's got the best deal for the Dyson wand. Walmart, right now, I just saw. Oh, it's out of control, I know. And I got another vacuum for Christmas that I bought for myself, for my family to give to me. It's really exciting. I'm going to try the robot vacuum and see how that goes. So we're pretty excited. I just love the fact that I could be like laying in bed and someone's working on my behalf. It's really wonderful and refreshing. Like, there it is. It's just working throughout my house for me. It's like your own little personal elf. It's like really exciting. I think there's something innate in the human, maybe psyche or makeup, that we love to hear what others have to say because we really don't know. And I love the story of John the Baptist because he's actually designed by God to set the stage for the coming of the Messiah into people's lives. Now the reality is that it was the real deal. Like, he was it, and Jesus was really coming in that moment. But Jesus is here, and he is wanting to step into people's lives all over the world, and he wants us to be like John the Baptist. I don't think it's just designed for influencers. I don't think it's just designed for those who write reviews on Yelp. I don't think it's just for those that really, really like to hear what others have to say. I think everybody is looking for someone to stand next to them in the grocery store and say, man, I can tell you're looking for something, and I'm here to set it up. Jesus is real. Let me tell you, wait. I may not have all of the intricacies of all of the words to put together to show you and to teach you, but honestly, it wasn't that someone said, did you know how it was made?
You see, they took this mold and this plastic, and it's the super suction motor that the Dyson people put together, and it's got this swirling whirligig that really the stuff. It was just someone that told me, man, it was a game changer. I tried it. It worked. Jesus was never meant to be someone that we talk about. Jesus was never meant to be just this story that's in the holidays. God was looking. He had designed in human history someone to set it up so that they could be a witness of how incredible the real story of Jesus coming is. Luke 3:16 says this. This is John replying to people if they were asking, you know, who are you and what are you about? And what's interesting is most of us actually want it to be about us. But what I love, the perspective of John the Baptist, look what he says in Luke 3:16. John answered their question by saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. How would you like to have that perspective of the Messiah? When was the last time you saw Jesus like that? When you see the reality of who he is, all you can do is bow your head and come to your knees and thank him because of what he has done in your life. And he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The one who sets up the stage for Jesus. What's interesting about the whole story in Luke chapter 1, verse 13 through 17, and this is what it says. An angel appears to Zechariah in the holy place to talk to him about what his son is about to do. And he says this, but the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you will name him John. I just need to pause there. Because you find out later on in the story that there's nowhere in the history of Zechariah or Elizabeth that there was a John anywhere. And typically they named their children because of the lineage, the history of where they've come from. And somehow the angel is like this. We like to determine what we are about. But I just want you to know when it comes to Jesus, God wants to be a part of the setup. And so he wants to determine who your son is, not just because of your history, your experience, and where you're at. You know, one of the aspects of being someone who is older that is now about to have a child, I can only imagine what kind of helicopter parents they would be. You know, when you've been waiting for so long for this promise, and now you're like, oh my God, don't do anything, you know. Please don't touch anything. Don't go anywhere. You're just going to stay at home. We're going to wrap bubble tape all around you every day. And God begins to set the stage of who John really is. I think about it in our own life. Do we allow the Holy Spirit to determine who we are, or do we live our life based on what we want and what we think? Do we allow God to determine what we should be, or are we so busy determining what we want to be? And as those who set the stage for the Son of the living God to come into people's lives, we cannot be about our own business. We have to determine what God says about us, not what the world and our feelings and our emotions and our thoughts or our parents' parents or our dysfunction or our brokenness. It has to be God who says, and he calls him John the Baptist, which means God is gracious. That we get to begin to set the stage of the graciousness of God everywhere we go. That who we become in Christ is God can take those who are the worst and turn them around. He's gracious.
Don't stay stubborn. Don't stay rigid. I hear so many times, well, that's just the way I am, or this is just how I am, or I was just born this way. I just have to tell you this. We were all born into sin. And if we determine that this is how we are and we don't let God come into the equation to mix it up, to shift it, and determine who we are, we won't be setting anything up except ourselves. And the Bible says that when you set yourself up over God, you will call him John. Now, I love this next phrase as the angel gives us four things. And in the last 11 minutes, I want to give you the four things that the angel says that a forerunner should look like. And I believe this is us. That the Bible is setting up the equation of the job that you and I are to be a part of and what that looks like. Because, by the way, Jesus is coming. He's coming to your neighborhood. He's coming to your family. He's coming to your world. And you may not realize it, but it's happening. And what I love about God is that he's willing to step into your world because he wants you to be a part of it. But it's not just about you. You are a part of something much bigger that God is doing. So he wants to determine who you really are. So who am I? You're the one that's going to show the world God is gracious. So here it is, the next one. He says this, you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. The first one is our life will be marked by joy. Joy is contagious. Philippians 4:4-5 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do, and remember the Lord is coming soon. I recognize that the moment and the place that I occupy, that Jesus is coming into the lives of people, and I have the ability to set it up for them. So as I process what Jesus is doing in me, joy begins to reside. Why do you think all the songs of Christmas time are like, joy unspeakable? Oh, well, that's not me. That's Keyshawn. Okay. Joy. That we can see what God is doing in the moment, and it may not be our favorite, but we can discover joy because God is bigger than our moment, and we see that there's more to it than just me. I'm a part of setting this thing up, so man, I'm excited. I'm excited that, yeah, stuff hasn't always worked out, but it's been a part of my journey. And so where I find myself, God's put me. And so I'm the one that gets to set it up. You're going to discover that Jesus loves you. You're going to find that he's for you. So I just get to come, and yeah, man, I got joy. Why do you have joy? Because he's working in my life. He's the real deal. I was once lost, and now I'm found. I was talking to a couple, Marianne and Ray, and they were sharing with me, and if you don't know their testimony, Marianne and Ray, stand up for a second so they can see this beautiful couple right here. They were talking about their marriage, and she was sharing with me how long she had been praying for her stubborn husband. And Ray, I love you, but there was a lot of years there you were a dodo head, right? I mean, that's what you told me, yeah? How many years, Marianne, were you praying for him? Some of you that didn't hear that, I'm going to say it, but you're not going to believe it. 41. 41 years she was contending for her husband. 41 years he was not living the way God intended him to be, but she kept praying, and now they're a testimony of the grace of God together in this house. And she's like, it's the reason why I stand for marriage, even when the situation is the worst. Because I watched God do a miracle. Number two. So the first one was a life marked by joy. That was actually number two. The first one is that God identifies you for who you are, but I messed it up. I forgot to put that one in here. So the next one is It says this. He must never touch, this is verse 15, he must never touch wine or any other alcoholic drink. I think the aspect of being a forerunner is that there's no distractions and that I'm focused on the mission and understand what God has put me here for. I think it's so easy that we could blame it on wine and alcohol, but I think it also can be Netflix. It can be stuff. It can be money. It can be my job. It's anything that actually diverts our attention to the mission that I'm actually here to set the stage for what God wants to do. And so, I get to be a part of allowing the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And don't be drunk with wine, but that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I just want to say this to young people. I think it's not just alcohol, it can be the consumption of the desire for relationship. If I just had a boyfriend, if I just had a girlfriend, and then next thing we know, and I remember when my dad told me, hey, when you get to college, give yourself a year before you jump into a relationship. And what did I do? The moment I got there, I was like, yeah, you look great. And she's like, yeah, come on. And next thing I know, it isolated me from being a part of people's lives. And it didn't last. And so therefore, when it was over, I'm standing around going, I don't have any friends. Don't let anything pull you aside or intoxicate you from the reality of what your life was meant for. And so really, he's saying this. Hey, your son was designed by God to be the great setup artist for what Jesus wants to do. And there's a mission. So as a young person, God's called you to be a setup person for Jesus in your school. And don't let anything pull you out of your God-given gift of being someone that tells people about the goodness of Jesus. And sometimes, and here's what I love about number whatever. It says this in the passage. It says, instead, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. We learn to walk in the Spirit, and he gives us supernatural power through the Holy Spirit to be his witness. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is what I love about this story of John the Baptist, is that he doesn't just tell John to go for it, but he actually gives him the greatest power in the universe, which is the Holy Spirit. And then he says, he will be full of the Holy Spirit, which then gives us the indication that it is important as a believer to live a Spirit-filled life, which means there are moments where we ask the Holy Spirit with the laying on of hands to fill our life. That idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where gifts and stuff comes out of us that is greater than what you and I could do on our best day. This is the plan of God for you and I as the setup artists of Jesus moving. We get to show people stuff that we didn't even know how we could do. Andrea Prescott texts me probably once a week in our off of our website that says what I prayed and what God did. And from that, she's telling me every week if she's in the grocery store or in some meeting with some other moms and someone there has an ankle that's hurt, an elbow that's wounded. And she's like, hey, Jesus is coming in this moment right now. He sent me here, so I just want to let you know. How about we pray? And everybody's like, what, what, what? She's like, yeah, just watch. Pray. Oh, wait, What? What is that? That's Jesus. I'm just setting the stage for him to actually turn your whole world around. You thought you were this. You thought you were born that way. You thought you had this. You thought this was going to be the end of your life. But I'm just here to tell today to tell you that there's something greater, and his name is Jesus. I'm just setting the stage. I think when you recognize your mission, it gives you a boldness to not be weird, but understand that he says, number one, what? He's going to identify who you are. Two, your life is going to be filled with joy because you know he's working on your behalf. And three, be filled with the Holy Spirit allows you to actually not just be the sum of your experience, but you're a part of something which is God and heaven. And it's so much bigger. Gifts and talents. And I'm so excited about Chad's teaching this class on the book of Acts. And people are coming out of there going like, I didn't even know. 9:30 every week. But not the next two. So just so you know. Last and finally. He says, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. And he will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah, which is an Old Testament prophet that did more miracles than any. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. I think we're so consumed with our life that we forget that actually our mission is for people, and that he's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can actually, look what Romans 1:6 says, for I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. The power of God is for people. And not just us in this room, but for the people that God puts us around. That I notice them and I realize my place in this world is I'm the great setup for what Jesus wants to do in their life. So I get to show them what love looks like. I get to show them what grace looks like. I get to show them what his power looks like. Because by the way, God is giving his power to those that set the stage for his son. So if you're wondering why you haven't seen the power, maybe you've been so busy setting up your own life. And maybe it's time to make a shift to set up the Son in others' lives, that you're going to discover that the power was always available for you today. Last and finally, it says this, Father's heart to the children. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21 says this, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And the last and final one is that he says he will give you wisdom to help the rebellious accept the way of the godly. I close with this. I think we've forgotten how to have conversation with people because of our fear to offend. That we allow people to stay in a state where they're actually going to wreck their lives, and God designed us to be there to be a part of the scenario that helps them come out of a place where they're going to continue to wreck their lives. How would they know unless someone shares? But here's the problem. We mix it with ourselves and what we want and what we like, and it comes out and it's so icky that people are like, nah, I'm out. But it doesn't change the fact that God's word is true and that he calls everyone to come to him and that there is a glorious standard because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But what I love about this passage is that he would give us wisdom to help people see where they're stuck. Not just giving us a platform to tell them, but give us wisdom to unpack it so that they can see where they are, so that they no longer are continuing to go back to that place, but they actually go, wow, I never saw it like that. Do you see all that the Father wants to give you and I as we step into this world? We are not left out. We actually are those that are a part of the Christmas story from here till eternity, because we get to be those who set it up. And he's the one that we're allowing to identify us. He's the one that we're allowing to fill us. He's the one that we're allowing to show us the mission. And we're not allowing anything to keep our attention away from people. And finally, I think it would be wonderful for us to be able to ask for wisdom because we actually care so deeply for people that we don't want them to be broken anymore. It's actually time for us to share. It's actually time for us to have conversations, not because we judge, but because actually God's given us the ability to have wisdom to unpack it so that they get it. And I'll give you a point and example, and I'm done. When David sinned, there was a prophet that God told to go to him, but he knew he couldn't just go to David and like, boom, drop the bomb. That's for church people to do. But he waited on the Holy Spirit to give him wisdom on how to unpack it so that David could respond. And because he cared for David and he cared for the message, he waited until it came to a place where he could unpack it. And then he talked to David about a shepherd and this family who only had one sheep. And they loved that one sheep. And there was this landowner who came over and stole that sheep. And David was like, what? Let's go get that landowner right now. And he's like, oh, by the way, that's you. And I think the beauty of what the Holy Spirit wants to do is he wants to give us wisdom so that we actually are a part of helping people not continually wreck their lives. So don't be afraid of where God puts you. And don't be surprised what he's asking you to do. And just remember, Jesus is coming into that place and he's asked you to be the one who sets it up like John the Baptist. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you for the four of you that clapped. It was, I'm just messing. Come on. I think in closing, the reality is,